friends just made a podcast. Two good friends just made a podcast. Two good friends just made a podcast. It's called Culture Bucket. Two good friends just made a podcast. Two good friends just made a podcast. Two good friends just made a podcast. Culture Bucket, Georgia and
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the universe's best podcast, greatest, most favourite podcast, Culture Bucket. This is the 109th episode, 11 more to go until episode 120. And today we're looking at our top five Batman movies. I will be telling you my five favourite Batman movies, and my co-host Alex will also be telling you her five favourite Batman movies. Well, isn't that right, Alex?
Yeah, definitely.
How are you feeling about that?
I'm very confused because I don't know. Maybe I don't like Batman as much as I thought I did.
Okay, interesting.
Like,
why did you say that?
Well, you'll see from my top five. Okay. Like, the thing is, I grew up with Batman.
Yeah.
But then I was looking at the films like, oh, you won't like one of my choices.
Okay.
And yeah. How are you feeling about this?
Fine. I like Batman.
Yeah, I think you're more of an expert than me on with Batman.
Maybe. I mean, we both love Batman.
Both Harley Quinn
animated series.
I do like that, actually. Yeah. That's fun.
But I stuck to Batman movies for this, so I didn't include the Joker movie of Joaquin Phoenix.
Haven't watched that.
It's a good film. Or the Birds of Prey movie with Harley Quinn, which does technically have... Is Ben Affleck in that for like a second? I don't remember. Anyway... I haven't included, well, I mean, there's no point including any of the Ben Affleck ones because they're all rubbish, but not because of him. So, shall we get going?
Yes.
Good. Before we do get going, though, I'm going to ask people to rate and review us everywhere they can, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc., wherever else you can do that. And also just to tell your friends about us. Get them to listen to us, get people watching and listening and stuff. And if you'd like to join us on social media or contact us or even buy us a coffee, if you'd like, the links to do all of those fun, contacty things are in our link tree, and you can find the link to our link tree in the show notes for this and every episode of the podcast. So please do go and have a look at that. And housekeeping out of the way.
Before we start,
Why
do you like Batman?
I like Batman because he is cool.
Yeah.
He is, he's a superhero, but he's not a superhero because he doesn't actually have any superpowers. So really, he's just a hero. Yeah. He's got the best rogues gallery of villains of any kind of comic book hero. Spider-Man rivals him, but like Batman's got the Joker, the Riddler, the Penguin, the Bane, the Poison Ivy. Mm-hmm. The Calendar Man, the Condiment King, the King Shark, the Kite Man. Like, it never ends, all of the Batman villains, and they're all interesting and cool. And Batman himself is, you know, Bruce Wayne is the mask and Batman's the real person, is what people say. And it's a very, you know, I feel like it's a very... It's a story that grips you when you're a kid, is the idea of this kid. He's orphaned, his parents are gunned down, and it makes him kind of determined to save people and help people. And he uses his fortune as the son of a billionaire to become a caped vigilante and try and save the world. And then obviously the story has inspired various incredible filmmakers over the years who have taken on the story and done their own versions of it. And because I think that the story speaks to people who have such great ability as filmmakers, that means we've had some really, really brilliant movies called Batman. Why do you like Batman?
I think it was when I was a kid, was mainly like the gadgets and you know, the Batcave and kind of the you know, the earlier movies were a little bit more kind of like caricatures and more like cartoonish. And that was quite cool. The cartoon that I used to watch, I liked that mainly because of, you know, the gadgets. he's kind of like 007, but with a mask.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a good point. That's true.
Yeah, so I kind of like that.
Cool. I can go with all that.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, our top five.
So my fifth favourite Batman movie is called Batman, or more colloquially known as Batman 89, the first Michael Keaton.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan of this one. I watched it when I was a kid and I loved it. Michael Keaton's performance is great because Michael Keaton was a comedian before he was, you know, an action star in this movie, and he manages to really nail the persona of Bruce Wayne, sort of slightly bumbling playboy, billionaire, as along with the performance of Batman as being, you know, this caped crusader. The costume in this one is a little bit more restrictive than in a lot of the other movies. Mm. You know, that cowl doesn't give him much head movement and stuff. I don't think he'd actually be very good at fighting as a result. But it's fine, it doesn't matter. And then obviously you've got the absolutely incredible Jack Nicholson as the villain, as the Joker. And it wasn't until the next movie that started to do the tradition of having 2, 3, 4, 5 different villains in a Batman movie. So it is, this one is Batman versus the Joker, the Joker being his ultimate arch nemesis sort of character. Jack Nicholson does a very good job. Kind of, you know, the Joker is a character that's had so many different actors play it, and they've all done. There's not really, well, actually, no, there has been someone who's done a bad Joker, but there were some very, very good performances of the Joker. And, you know, before Jack Nicholson here, we had Cesar Romero in the 60s, but Jack Nicholson, I think, for a lot of people, was their kind of first Joker, certainly my first Joker. And he's very, very good. And there's a bit where Michael Keaton goes, "Do you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts." And I love that bit. So, yeah, this movie's awesome. Tim Burton, you know, perfect sensibility to do Batman. And it's funny how at the time people were like, "Oh, he's made a dark, this is a dark movie." And then based on the Batman movies you've had since, now you go back and watch Batman 89 and you're like, this is very silly, goofy stuff that we've got going on over here. But yeah, that's my number five pick.
Nice. Batman 89.
What's your number five pick?
My number five pick is an unpopular opinion. It hasn't got good reviews at all. Everybody seems to hate it. I didn't realize this film had so much hate until I was researching it. Mm-hmm. And I knew I was going to, like, I don't know. I'm embarrassed to say, but it's a real, real nostalgic pick. And I love this film. I think it's good. And it's Batman and Robin. I don't understand why everybody hates it.
Come on.
It was made like in 1997 at the peak of like George Clooney, you know, Chris O'Donnell and Alicia Silverstone, you know, like they were the kind of things that you watched in 1997. Then you also have Uma Thurman, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I like it. And, you know,
weird.
What is bad about it? It's really like cartoonish. It's got like Poison Ivy that, you know, makes everybody fall in love with her. And that's why like Batman and Robin don't get along anymore. Then Alicia Silverstone arrives, who's, you know, she's great and she becomes Batgirl. And, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger wants to freeze the town, and it's fun. It's a fun film. And George Clooney, I think, is good as Batman. What is wrong with this film?
Everything.
Why does everybody hate it?
Everything you've just said is a bad thing.
No.
Yes.
Not in 1997.
What are you talking about? Yes, in 1997. People didn't like it in 1997.
Well, I did.
People don't like it now.
I liked it in 1997. And I like
Chris
it now.
Chris O'Donnell. Awful. Alicia Silverstone. I've liked her in stuff since, but, you know, not really given anything to do in this movie. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Just every line of dialogue he has is a terrible ice pun.
It's such... It's so idiotic. This film is so... silly.
Joel Schumacher, who I don't even rate as a director, Joel Schumacher wasn't really allowed to make a movie because they were determined to sell toys. So it's just toys. It's just the toyification of this movie is crazy. Everything is a toy. There's no sense of character. There's no sense of the world. It just Gotham City in this movie feels like a circus. He's got a credit card. Uma Thurman is awful in it. They do Bane in this movie, and they just have him played by a wrestler going rah and screaming.
Yeah.
Perfect. It's a really, really bad film.
Well, I like it.
Well, I'm sorry.
I think it's silly enough to be enjoyed.
No.
We'll agree to disagree.
Sure. Terrible stuff.
It's not terrible. I think people love to hate it.
No, people don't love to hate it.
Maybe you should watch it again. Like I had to watch Spider-Man 2.
I have watched it again. I've watched it pretty recently. It's bad.
Fine.
Okay, so that's your number 5 pick.
Yes.
Yeah, cool. Do you want to hear my number 4?
Definitely.
Okay, cool. My number 4 is Batman Begins.
Oh, that's my number 4.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yes. Well, Batman Begins. We agree on something.
Good. Yeah, we do. Batman Begins is the next Batman movie from Batman and Robin.
Yes.
Batman and Robin came out in 1997 and killed the franchise for 8 years. And then in 2005... they made Batman Begins, and because Batman was so thoroughly dead after Batman and Robin, they made this smaller, less... Like, this movie, I don't think they expected it to be big or successful necessarily. They gave it to Christopher Nolan, who now is like, you know...
I think
Warner Brothers recently gave him a 7-figure check just to say sorry for... messing up the release of Tenet. Like, everyone in the world wants to work with Christopher Nolan. He's beloved. Yeah. This is an earlier movie of his. Not his first movie of anything, but it certainly... I don't think he was expected to make a film that people would love quite as much as this. Mm. Christian Bale was brought in to play Batman, and they said this is going to be a grounded take on Batman. And, you know, it is. We see the origin story of Batman as he goes and gets trained by the League of Shadows. Mm-hmm. And Ra's al Ghul, played ultimately by Liam Neeson, who's pretty great in this movie.
Yeah.
Cillian Murphy's in there as Dr. Jonathan Crane, the Scarecrow. And we basically watched Bruce Wayne decide to become the Batman, train himself up to be the Batman, team up with Lucius Fox and Alfred to get all of his gear ready. And then he has to save the city from Jonathan Crane's fear toxin and the League of Shadows' determination to destroy it so it can be rebuilt again without all the sin and horror that it has in it.
Yes.
Gary
Oldman is in it.
I mean,
as Jim Gordon.
It's got such a cast.
It's amazing.
Katie Holmes is in there.
Yeah, why didn't she not do the other two?
I think people didn't like her in this. I think she's... I don't really have
I think she's good in this.
With Katie Holmes.
Yeah.
Tom Wilkinson as Carmine Falcone. Rutger Hauer as Richard Earle, who's on the board of directors of Wayne Enterprises in this movie, and he's kind of like a big bad business guy. Like Christopher Walken in the one he's in. It's good. Why do you like it?
Because it's great. It's the origin story. It's not cartoonish. It's a different take on Batman. Mm. The score is great. It's just a great origin story. Very well done.
There's definitely been a thing since this one came out of people now, of it always now being like, Batman movies have got to be dark and gritty.
Like, looking at my list, I think I like that side of Batman, apart from the number 5. Yeah. But I think that's why I'm not as a fan as I thought I was, because I think I like the darkness of
Batman. That's a fundamental element of it. Like,
yeah,
that's the thing.
It's a dark person. Yeah. He's not. Yeah.
But in the Joel Schumacher era of Batman Forever and Batman and Robin, I think because it had been such a success with Michael Keaton and Tim Burton, Warner Brothers were like, these are children's films. They are to be for children.
Yeah.
And obviously, Batman Begins. Kids can enjoy it. It's not an adult movie necessarily. It's like a 12, but like it's not. Doesn't it's not filled with things that can be sold as toys and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether The Brave and the Bold, which is James Gunn's Batman project, which Andy Muschietti of The Flash is going to helm, I wonder if that's going to be the first Batman movie since Batman and Robin to bring it back towards being a little bit more bright. Not bright and colourful, but less dark and gritty.
Yeah.
I wonder what that's going to be like. But yeah.
And the gadgets. The gadgets are great in Batman Begins. Oh,
the gadgets are very good in Batman Begins.
Because, you know, you kind of like, you start building up the gadgets in this film. And I think that's pretty great.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. So that's my number four. And that's your number
four. That's my number four too, yeah.
So my number three is Batman Returns.
It's my number three.
All right, cool. So Batman Returns is the second Tim Burton Batman movie returning behind as the director, with Michael Keaton returning as Batman and Michael Goff, I guess, returning as Alfred. I'm pretty sure it was Michael Goff that played Alfred. And this movie, what I love about Batman Returns is that Tim Burton, because he had such a huge success with Batman 89, he was kind of given permission almost to do what he wanted. Yeah. And he kind of revealed his hand. He showed his hand a little bit, in as much as, like, as interested as he is in Batman, he's far more interested in the absolute freaks that Batman fights.
Yeah.
And he found the freakiest freak that's ever been a freak in Danny DeVito's gross penguin.
Oh, that penguin is incredible, though. We like this.
Black bile pouring out of his mouth. He's biting people's noses off. He's just a grubby little gremlin of a thing, and he's the best. And we spend more time, I think, with like Oswald Cobblepot and the penguin as we do with Batman in this movie. Like, I think the first half hour or so of this movie almost has no Bruce Wayne or Batman in it. It's all setting up Oswald Cobblepot and Michelle Pfeiffer's Selina Kyle as Catwoman.
I just love how then they show how she becomes Catwoman, which is so crazy and impossible. It's proper
comic book stuff, isn't it?
Yeah,
and I love it. And I love her. Yeah. Michelle Pfeiffer's performance in this is truly incredible. And she is so good at playing the meek Selina Kyle at the start. Yeah. And then when she becomes Catwoman and the way her character changes, she does it perfectly.
And the costume is perfect. Like,
It's
just kind of like, it's a perfect latex suit. But then at some points it's just like kind of, you see the sewings, like rough sewings. It's like they don't have to be there, but they're there. Like,
it's you sort of stitch it together herself. Really good stuff. And then like you've also got Christopher Walken is in this as playing Max Schreck, who's like an industrialist competitor to Bruce Wayne, who gives, you know, Max Schreck is very good, like, third wheel villain in this movie. Teams up with the Penguin to try and make him the mayor. Ends up down in the sewers. I think there's a bit at the end where Batman gets unmasked and Max Schreck sees him and he says something like, "Bruce Wayne, why are you dressed up as Batman?" Because he's an idiot. He doesn't put it together.
Yeah.
And then the kiss, and then Catwoman kisses him with the electric cable, big electric kiss. And Danny DeVito just having bile pouring out of his mouth.
Oh.
I love the ending to this movie. He's got that big penguin that big rubber duck thing that he rides around in, and he's got the army of penguins with rockets strapped to them. It's so silly. I love it. And it's set at Christmas as well. It's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a great film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you like about it?
I agree with everything you said. It's just real cartoonish and really like the comic book. And it doesn't really, it's just real, it doesn't really concentrate just on Batman, but on the villains. And I think that's what makes Batman the villains. It's not just Batman being, you know, the superhero, the hero. Mm. And I just really like it.
Yeah, I agree.
And Michael Keaton is a great Batman.
Yeah, Michael Keaton is brilliant. Batman. Do you know the one thing I don't like about these Tim Burton movies is the actor who plays Commissioner Gordon, Pat Hingle, is he's probably doing what he was asked to do, but I don't like the characterization of Gordon. He's like a bumbling oaf in these movies. And Gary Oldman, I'm a big fan of what Gary Oldman's doing in in the
Gary Oldman movies. Is the best.
Yeah, but other than that, yeah, they're just great. And I'd have loved to have seen what Burton would have gone on to do had his relationship with DC not fallen apart a bit and ended up leaving the project. But yeah, we got these two pretty great movies off of Michael Keaton and Tim Burton. And yeah, we were spoiled.
Do you know why Tim Burton left after the... Because then there's Batman Forever and then Batman and Robin.
Remember. I don't know if it's that he wanted to go off and make Superman Lives or if he wanted to do... I think he just wanted to do a story that Warner Brothers weren't keen on. I think they wanted the villain to be the Riddler.
Okay.
And he saw the Riddler as being too much like the Joker. I might be making that up, I'm not sure, but yeah, he for whatever reason he went off and they made, and you know, Batman Forever's not in my top five, but I similar to you with Batman and Robin, I have a soft spot for Batman Forever.
It's a real soft spot. It just it has to be there because I don't know, I've got good memories of
I like Val Kilmer and Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones and stuff. Batman Forever I can get together with a bit, not anyway, so that's my number three. That's your number three. So my number two, is Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight, which is your number two.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. This movie, for Heath Ledger's performance alone, this movie is the greatest thing that's ever happened.
100%.
I remember going to see this movie in IMAX. I saw it came out. This is a 2007 movie, maybe.
2008.
So I was 20 years old, which is basically the exact age to be for this movie coming out. I loved it. I saw it in the cinema a bunch of times. The opening sequence of robbing the bank, with William Fichtner playing the bank manager, is in an homage to Heat, and the whole movie is an homage to Heat, which you've seen recently.
Yes.
I don't know if you knew, but. It's the story of a city. It's a crime saga set in the city. It's massively influenced by Heat. So he brought in an actor from Heat to play the bank manager at the start of the movie and stuff. And it's got that rising tone, the Joker's theme that Hans Zimmer does, of like, just that really unsettling tone that comes through. And you're like, no, he told me to kill the bus driver. And it's just awesome. And then from there, you've got basically every single second that Heath Ledger's on screen, something iconic is happening.
Incredible,
But the rest of it works as well. A lot of people criticise the way Two-Face is used in this movie because he's brought in quite late. But I like it. I like Aaron Eckhart as Harvey Dent. And the way that he's used as the Joker. The Joker is showing that anyone can be corrupted. If they're put through enough hell, and he really puts Harvey Dent through hell.
Yeah, well, he hasn't got half of his face.
Yeah. As much as I can get together with Katie Holmes in the first one, I really like Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, she's great in it. She's much better than Katie Holmes.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Maggie Gyllenhaal's Rachel Dawes. The bit where, I mean, spoilers for this movie that's quite old at this point. The bit where she dies is horrifying. Awful. Yeah. You feel the pain that everyone is going through in that moment. And yeah, again, similar to, you know, like those Heat comparisons, everything that James Gordon is doing in this movie where he pretends to die and he's coming, like, he's kind of taken a lot. It's the best. Why do you like it?
Heath Ledger is incredible in it. Like you said before, every scene is amazing. And just because it's really dark and kind of scary because this Joker is really totally unhinged. Like, he's not scared of anything and you're actually scared of him.
Mm-hmm.
And whilst, like, the Joker in Batman 1989, he's kind of, like, unhinged but still, like, kind of human.
In 1989, you see him as Jack Napier before he becomes the Joker, whereas in this movie, he tells, like, three different stories of how he became the Joker.
Exactly, and those are just kind of, like, crazy, and and I think he makes a film, definitely.
Yeah. Like, it's what makes, like, I like The Dark Knight Rises, the next one. And Tom Hardy is doing everything he can to put in an iconic performance in that. Yeah. And, like, you know, he's memorable in that movie, but
yeah,
that movie, there was never any way that that movie was going to live up to what Heath Ledger had done here.
Yeah,
With the Dark Knight.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great film.
It's yeah.
And it makes me sad that Heath Ledger is not with us.
Yeah. Anymore. I mean, yeah.
And he can't give us performances like these.
I know. Like, what might have been different had he lived? And just, you know, for his family and friends and everything, it was very awful and tragic. But this is quite the legacy to leave. Especially because I think when he was first announced as being the Joker, I think there was a lot of people being like, what?
Exactly, like Heath Ledger.
Yeah,
yeah.
But he, good Lord, did he prove people wrong. Okay, so that's my number two, and your number two is The Dark Knight.
Yes.
My number one, I don't think will be your number one. My number one is... No. The Batman.
The Batman.
Robert Pattinson's, Matt Reeves's, Paul Dano's The Batman. This is the 2022 movie, the most recent live-action Batman movie, if we're not counting The Flash. this movie, I love this movie so much. It's easily my favourite Batman movie, which is crazy, because The Dark Knight is so good, and I amazing. Think now that the hype on the Batman has died down a little, I think people would probably go back to being like, oh, The Dark Knight is the best one.
Yeah.
But this movie, first of all, it's so, like, people like, when people like, oh, Tim Burton's movie is well dark, and then after the Nolan movies, people like, actually, it's pretty silly and goofy. And then Nolan movies, people like, this is dark and gritty stuff. This movie, somehow, it's even darker and grittier and crueler and nastier and grimier. Mm. It is a city that is barely functioning, with Batman desperately trying to do what he can to save it. It's early on in his career. Robert Pattinson is playing a young Bruce Wayne here. The touches, the details are so great. We see him when he takes the cowl off, he's still got the black eyeliner on his eyes, which had, you know, people hadn't really done before in other Batman movies, but obviously he's got black eyeliner on, like, it, and it creates such a haunting look. And, like, truly in this one, Batman is the real person and Bruce Wayne is the mask, and, like, he is not functioning as Bruce Wayne. He's like he's a recluse. People don't see him. People don't know him. He's hiding away from the world. And all he cares about is being Batman and being vengeance on vengeance. And, unlike every other movie, pretty much, this one is about the character of Batman. In the way that we were talking about how Tim Burton was more interested in the Penguin and Catwoman, and even the Joker. And those movies are kind of as much about the villains as they are about the Batman. This movie, yeah, Paul Dano's in it, playing the Riddler. Zoe Kravitz.
Kravitz.
Is in here playing Selina Kyle's Catwoman character, like, and they are very good. Colin Farrell is in here as the Penguin. Oh my God, he's good. John Turturro is playing Carmine Falcone, the character played by Tom Wilkinson in the movies. Like, we've got these various different rogues gallery villains dotted around in this movie that Batman comes up against, but this movie is about Batman. This movie isn't even about Bruce Wayne. This movie is about the character of Batman. And exploring and examining what that is, why he does what he does, what his aims are, what his limits are. And I love it. I completely love and adore this film. I can't believe that it exists. It makes me a little bit sad that now Warner Brothers are, with James Gunn, are taking the DC stuff in a slightly different direction. We are getting the Batman Part 2.
Yeah.
I worry that that might be the end of Robert Pattinson as Batman. And it's now always going to be looked at as this sort of almost spin-off, which I love it. It's
sounds good. Yeah. I really want to watch it. I just haven't had the...
Definitely should. And it's like, you know, in the way that we were talking about how The Dark Knight is sort of an homage to and inspired by Heat, and takes that story of Heat and the idea of a crime saga that goes across a whole city, and puts it in a Batman context. This movie is taking the film Seven and films like that, and applying that sort of ethos and that look and that vibe to a Batman movie, in the way that in Seven, every time you're outside, it's raining. It's always raining in the city. In Seven, this Gotham City is always in the rain. And they filmed it in a lot of it in Liverpool, and that really helps to give it
that's why.
Yeah. It helps to give it the gothic texture and look that works for Gotham. It's the best. I love this movie. Nice. So yeah. The Batman. That's my number. Nice. That's my number one.
One.
What's your number one?
My number one is another Christopher Nolan, the one that we haven't talked about, and is 2012, The Dark Knight Rises.
The Dark Knight Rises, wow. So you like that one more than The Dark Knight?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know. It's just, for me, it just comes after the Dark Knight, and everything has gone to shits at the end of The Dark Knight, and Batman leaves and disappears because he gets all the blame for what happened, instead of to try and save kind of what's his name, Dent's crime, to kind of like keep Dent a good person. He leaves and he goes in exile, and so you left at The Dark Knight being like, oh, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And then you start The Dark Knight Rises with Bane on that plane. And that's insane. I love that scene. That's like one of my favorite kind of scenes in kind of cinema, because it's just so cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
And Bane has got to speak.
Yeah, and what's that guy say? Like, what would it hurt if I took, would it hurt if I took off the mask? And he goes, for you. It would be very painful for you.
And we have the addition of like Anne Hathaway, which kind of adds kind of like an air of kind of, she's a villain, but she's also there to kind of help. But then you're not really sure if she's helping or not helping. And the action scenes are the most exciting in this one. And then at the end, finally, maybe Bruce Wayne has got some joy and happiness after being constantly the Batman. And maybe he's not the Batman. Maybe he's not Batman anymore. He's retired. We don't know. We don't know what happens at the end with
Alfred.
With Alfred.
I think I'd like the movie more if you saw him look and react, but you didn't see what he was looking at. That would be a better ending for the film.
Yeah.
But that's not what happens. What happens is he sees Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
So.
I like it.
I really like this movie. It would be my number six. I really, really like it. And all the things you've said, I agree with. The things for me that let it down a little bit is I don't think it sticks the landing. I think that he kind of almost got cold feet about it being his last Batman movie and wanting to include a bunch of stuff. So like Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character being revealed at the end that his name is Robin. So he's Robin. Except Robin isn't called Robin. Robin's called Dick Grayson or whatever. Whatever that in it. There's never been a Robin whose name is Robin. That's not what Robin is. And there's a couple of other like the, what's her, Talia al Ghul's character, who's played. I can't remember who plays her. But doesn't really like it. Kind of undercuts like Bane is so scary.
Yeah,
and then he just gets wiped out in a second at the end, and it gets revealed he wasn't even the bad guy. Talia al Ghul was the bad guy, and it doesn't. Mm. It's a reveal that, I mean, it worked, like it literally works, but it doesn't feel emotional or like a big gut punch. And then there's stuff around like how he's able to escape that prison. It's good, I love it, but there's a handful of just choices and things the movie does that kind of let it down for me a little bit. But I support it being your number one. I don't think it's a bad movie by any stretch. I will happily sit down and watch it any day of the week.
Yeah. I love Christopher Nolan's Batman.
Yep. They are good stuff.
That was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, awesome. I'll run down my top five.
Yeah.
My top five was number five, Batman 89. Number four, Batman Begins. Number three, Batman Returns. Number two, The Dark Knight. And number one, The Batman.
My number 5, Batman and Robin. Number 4, Batman Begins. Number 3, Batman Returns. Number 2, The Dark Knight. And number 1, The Dark Knight Rises.
A nice list. There were some Batman movies that neither of us mentioned. There's Batman 66, which is the Adam West TV show theatrical released film. I've never seen it. Have you seen it?
Let me check. Is that the one? But that was a show.
There was a show, yeah, but they did a movie of it in like 1966.
Ah, because I watched the show.
Yeah,
I haven't watched the movie.
I've never seen the show. Good show.
They had it on TV here when I was a kid. It's like Pow. It's very. Yeah, Wham. It's
Biff.
Very like the comic book.
Yeah.
So kind of like cartoonish and stuff.
Yeah.
But it was fun to watch.
That's cool. Neither of us have Batman Forever in our list. I mentioned before that I like that movie. What do you think of that?
I didn't like that movie.
Wow, you like Batman and Robin, you don't like Batman Forever.
I had an aversion with what's his name? Jim Carrey.
Yeah, he's all over that film.
And he's just everywhere in that film, and it's just too much for me. I was like, stop this, Riddler.
Batman versus Superman, we watched that together in the cinema.
Oh, God. I think I went for the longest pee ever. I was just like, I just went for a walk because I couldn't be bothered anymore, especially when they found out they had the same mother or the same mother died or whatever.
Their mums had the same name.
Yeah. And then it was like, oh, then we like each other. Oh, my God. What a stupid film.
Yeah, terrible movie. And then along with that, you've got Justice League and Zack Snyder's Justice League and
the Suicide Squad. Bad.
Like the various little bits and pieces that Ben Affleck appeared in. But he never had his own Batman movie. Bizarre.
I wonder why.
Well, he was originally like what ended up being the Batman started off as a Ben Affleck project that he was going to write, direct, and star in.
Okay.
Joe Manganiello, I think his name is, was going to play Deathstroke. It was not going to be the film that Matt Reeves ended up making.
And
that project fell apart for any number of reasons. I think Ben Affleck just didn't like playing Batman in the end. He didn't enjoy the pressure and all the other things. So, yeah, it's a pity because I think that Ben Affleck is fine as Batman and I'd have happily watched a full movie, but never happened.
I guess, yeah.
And I think the only other one is the Lego Batman movie.
I haven't watched
it. It's very good.
Is it?
Yeah, it would probably be my number 7. And if I've seen it once in the cinema. If I rewatched it, it would maybe even make my list. It's a good film, the Lego Batman movie. Better than it deserves to be. Better than it has any right to be. But, you know, there we go. So, that's our lists. That's our Batman movies. Homework-wise...
Yes.
You should watch The Batman.
The Batman, yes.
What do you want me to do?
I have no idea.
Can I watch The Square?
Yes, you can watch The Square from my culture catch up from last week.
Yes.
Absolutely. It's on Amazon Prime.
Amazon Prime.
is on Amazon Prime. So definitely worth watching.
Yeah.
And then I want to watch Triangle of Sadness.
Yeah, I'd like to watch that as well, actually. So who knows what I'll have managed to watch by the next time we discuss homework. But yeah. You're going to watch The Batman. I'm going to watch The Square. We're going to come back. It's going to be episode 110. And it's going to be a classic culture catch-up episode. And then our next special, episode 111, is going to be our recap of The Bear.
Yeah.
Yeah, ready because for season 2 of that hitting Disney Plus pretty soon.
Even in Europe?
It's coming out in the UK on Disney Plus. Hopefully the rest of Europe as well. Let me get you the date because it's on our Instagram. July 19th. I think it hits. It might be on Disney Plus next week. I think it's on in America. I think it's out in America next week.
Okay.
But July 19th in the UK and the rest of Europe. Hopefully, also we'll see. But yeah, so season 1 recap, because we were always going to do a special on The Bear and we didn't get around to it, so we're gonna go for it then and talk about The Bear in more detail, which I can't wait for, that's all gonna be wonderful. So we'll see you then. Thank you for joining us. Let us know what your favorite Batman movie is, and we'll
definitely,
if you send us a list, we'll read it out like we did last time for our friends at Film versus Film.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. Love you.
Bye.
Bye.